Welcome to the Think Global, Speak Local podcast from Rosetta Stone, where thought leaders and industry experts share ideas for using foreign language skills as a tool for optimizing business performance and organizational success. On this edition, we will be joining Rosetta Stone's Jen Fraser, Director of Customer Reference Programs, and Dwayne Sider, Director of Learning, as they discuss insights and lessons learned from working with world-class companies addressing the challenges of language and communication in the competitive global economy.
You know, Dwayne, we have done a lot of work related to the impact of globalization on U.S. business and, of course, its impact on Rosetta Stone. I was reading a recent article in the New York Times from February written by Commerce Secretary Gary Locke. And in this article, there was a quote I want to share with you. Gary says that only 1% of U.S. companies export. And of that 1%, 58% export to only one country, which is typically Canada or Mexico. And yet, 95% of the world's consumers live outside the borders of the United States. So, as he states, if U.S. companies want to grow and expand, not only do they have to focus on the domestic market, but they have to look at the 95% of customers outside. So what do you think this means to U.S. businesses to compete internationally?
I don't know which is the more surprising statistic, that is that only 1% of U.S. companies export, or on the other hand, that 90%, 95%, I think you said, of our potential market is outside the country. But I guess if you take those two things together, it does suggest that we aren't at this point competitive in international markets. And I think that's especially the case if you look at the rise of emerging markets and emerging economies, because that market is even going to grow larger than it is now. And we need to be prepared to take advantage of that because they're producing more and they're consuming more as well. At the same time as we want to focus on international markets, we do need to be aware that the United States is an international market too to everybody else. And sometimes we think that we have the domestic market to ourselves, but in the same way that we're looking internationally, thriving international companies are looking to the United States as a rich market as well. So we need to be competitive internationally and also need to compete with global producers in our own backyard.
I also think we need to ask the question as to whether or not businesses today can compete with the language of business only being that of English. What do you think?
I guess it's yes or no. I mean, yes, in the sense that, you know, we know that about 1 billion people worldwide are learning English. There are 20 million in Brazil alone, for example. The question is whether they're all learning and speaking the same English. We know, for example, that 2/3 of the English language conversations that are taking place in the world, or 2/3 of the people who are learning English, are two non-native speakers using English as a kind of bridge language. And you have to think that English is going to be perhaps a slightly different English than the English we know. So are we all, in fact, speaking the same English worldwide? It may suggest that non-native speakers of English are actually going to chart the direction for English in the future.
So it appears that English will be one of the languages to do business internationally. But at the same time, I read an interesting statistic from the U.S. Census Bureau, and what it said was that 65% of people in the world speak at least two languages. But in the U.S., only 11.4% of Americans speak another language in addition to their native tongue. This suggests that companies and business professionals are at a competitive disadvantage if they're not prepared to communicate in languages other than English. Do you agree with this? Do you think that we're behind the language learning curve?
I think I'd have to agree both in what we just said, that is that we may not have the English language to ourselves worldwide, but also because we are seeing tremendous growth in the use of languages other than English. Take the internet, for example. We know that in 2000, 50% of internet users were native English speakers. By 2005, that had dropped to 32%, and now it's dropped even further. So we recognize that languages other than English are being used worldwide. And after all, English is only the third or fourth largest language in the world, depending on how you count things. And Chinese is the largest. So I suppose a question we might use to kind of orient ourselves to this situation is that if you want to do business with someone in China, what language do you think they'd prefer?
You think they would prefer Chinese.
Exactly.
So how does this impact the global talent shortage that I'm hearing about, you're hearing about, from companies?
It's not a shortage of talented people. What we're talking about really here is what you might regard as the multilingual talent. In other words, those who have learned more than one language, in Europe sometimes 2, 3, 4 other languages, are tremendously valuable for companies worldwide because they are like the bridge that helps us communicate with each other. And increasingly, the value of people with multi-language skills means that there's tremendous competition for those people to work for companies everywhere around the world. One of the complicating factors is that in the United States, some of our own laws, that is, immigration laws and hiring laws, mean that it's difficult for us to hire multilingual people into our own companies all the way up to the executive level. So it does create a situation in which there may be some kind of global shortage.
What do you see as the solution to this challenge for future growth and survival of business?
Well, we can't neglect to produce good products and good services as well. But I think with the issue that we're talking about here, one of the keys is to develop multilingual skills. That is the ability to turn those language barriers, you might say, into bridges of communication in order to be able to be global citizens. Of course, this needs to happen in the workplace with language training programs, but it also needs to happen in our schools. And of course, we've got lots of great language learning programs in schools, but perhaps a little bit more focus on language learning programs as a way of developing a globally oriented workforce. Language training is one of the most effective ways of addressing this issue of global competitiveness and making sure that we grow not only our existing markets, but are able to serve and benefit from global markets.
That's it for this edition of the Think Global, Speak Local podcast. You can find this conversation on our website at rosettastone.com/podcast or in the iTunes store under the Business Podcasts category. If you have any questions about the topics or issues discussed on the podcast, please visit our website at rosettastone.com/business or email us at business@rosettastone.com.